with you in worship today, and I want to offer congratulations. You made it to the end of June. It seems like the never-ending winter here in the Pacific Northwest, and then just like someone flips a switch, summer arrives. But at the close of my message today, I want to take some time to pray for a group of people that we're saying goodbye to. And there's five families that I know of, and I'm sure that there probably are others. And so if this is your last Sunday or this summer you're moving, we're going to invite you to stand during that time, and we're going to pray for you. And the reason we're doing that is I feel like this last year, I'm like, man, like every week someone is coming to me and saying this is their last Sunday and we're moving. And so I started counting, or we started counting, and it's kind of shocking. There's been 20 families since April of last year, so April 2017, that have moved away, physically moved away from North Bend and Snoqualmie. And so rather than just feeling like it's ships leaving in the night, we want to, these are important people that we've been in relationship with for years, so we just want to take a moment to say goodbye. On the flip side of that, we also want to personally invite you to a couple summer events, and this is a recap for those of you that were here during announcements, but if you missed those, the first one is this block party. And again, our heart on this is try to connect with our neighbors. And so like more than 1,000 of these have been distributed to some of the new neighborhoods in town. And also Facebook, it would really help us if you liked us on our Facebook page. That used to be a group page, and so it was kind of entrance by invite only. And then a year ago, we switched it. And what we didn't do a good job of was liking. And so Facebook's algorithm does not like us. And so it just gets lost in anybody who's friended us. So it would really help if you liked us. I can't believe I'm asking you to like me. But you can forward those invites from social media, or there's a stack of these cards if you'd like to take some home with you and give them to your neighbors, or throw them out your windows as you drive around town. Don't do that. But again, our heart is to connect with some of the new people. There's so many folks moving into town. There's also a lot of folks who are moving out of town. And so as we say goodbye to those who are leaving, we also want to say hello to folks that are new to us. Additionally, our July sermon series, like I said, at the movies, it's meant to be very user-friendly and fun, and I do want to reiterate why we're using movies, because when I was a kid, movies were kind of held at arm's length, and I grew up in the Midwest, so I don't know if that was the case here for those of you from the Pacific Northwest, but most of these are films that all of us have seen already, and so we want to create discussion points. And like I said, movies are good stories, ones that people are willing to pay to watch, and they're the ways that stories are being told today. So let's use them to share the message of hope and life. And so we're going to pull biblical themes out of these movies, and just like Jesus did with the parables in the New Testament, we want to use these stories to learn more about God and his love for people. So next week is A Wrinkle in Time, and that's based, it's an adaptation actually of a book by Madeline L'Engle. One that many middle schoolers read, and including my own here at Twin Falls. But then July 8th, we're going to look at The Black Panther, The Greatest Showman, and then Coco on July 22nd. And I'm going to use clips during my message, so if you haven't seen the movie, that's okay. You'll be able to follow along. But because of copyright laws, we're not going to be able to post those messages online. That's just the way that it is. And all the more incentive for you to be here. So, today, that's my commercial, it's over. Today, we want to salute our volunteers. Each and every week, it takes roughly 60 people to make Sunday morning happen. That's a lot of folks. And that's from musicians and technicians at the soundboard to teachers and nursery workers, hospitality team, welcoming team, that's just to name a few of the areas. But it's not just Sunday. We have midweek ministries like our community group leaders, women's Bible studies. We have many youth ministry volunteers. And my new favorite, okay, you're gonna want to come to this. It's Women's Weed Wednesday. Okay, kind of a play on words here in Washington. But weed is for weeding. And so, like, on Wednesday afternoon, there's all these people who show up. We actually even had one of our very Snoqualmie's Police Department's finest show up and help us out. So that happens on Wednesdays just to help make our landscaping look beautiful. I know that the guys are planning a pruning and mowing party soon, so you're not going to want to miss that. But church, as we know it, wouldn't function without you. So every cup of coffee brewed, every weed that's pulled, every lesson prepared makes a difference. And so wherever you serve is a ministry to our church body. It's an offering to our Lord, and I want to thank you. And while I'm at it, I also want to thank those of you that find time to serve outside the walls of our church. And whether that's at the food bank or Echo Glen, or maybe it's even as a coach for youth sports, when we serve others in the name of Jesus, we help build up his kingdom. It's a valuable and important contribution. And I know how hard it is to find time. Even planned. Volunteers in action right there. Thank you, Bruce. You see how important he is to Sunday morning right there. Where was I? So it's really hard to find time. We keep a well-worn path between the office and home, and then when you make room for your spouse, if you're married, or your kids, or walking the dog, or working out, there's not a lot of time, let alone energy, left over to do things like serving. So volunteering or serving has to be a priority that moves other things aside, and it takes a commitment. So this morning I want to help us remember why we make the effort. And I also want to help us remember how we might find the energy. Because for followers of Jesus, it's found, both of those things, the why and the how, we find that in the difference between volunteering and being a servant. Now, this is nothing new. We've talked about this before, but I want to keep it fresh in our mind. There's a difference between volunteering and being a servant. It's the difference between serving and servant. And it doesn't sound like a very big difference, I'll admit that, but consider your own response to those two things. When you say serving, it sounds helpful, maybe even noble. There's an element of, hey, this is a great thing that you're doing. But when I say servant, that sounds somehow inferior, maybe even demeaning. But guess what? Being a servant and someone who lovingly serves others is at our core as followers of Jesus. And even though volunteering and serving are good and wonderful it's the starting point that matters. Because we're first servants. And then everything we do flows out from that. Everything we do, because being a servant is less about something you do and more about who you are. It's less about showing up and offering our expertise or our skills or our services, you know, whether that's fundraising or chairing a committee or coaching or helping. It's less about that, and it's more about offering your entire self. And that's where we're going to go today. This was at the heart of Jesus' own self-understanding, and it can and should be at our heart too. Jesus was here to serve. According to Jesus, there was no hiding what he was here to do. He was here to serve. In Mark 10, verse 45, he says to his disciples, put this on the screen, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus knew he was the Messiah, the King, which makes this all the more stunning that he would say this. You know, I'd like to think that when people run for public office in our country, that they're motivated by a desire to serve others more than themselves for their own needs. But this is no campaign speech by Jesus. He's telling this to his inner circle, his closest followers, his disciples. that what he's here to do is to serve. And that's because Jesus saw himself as a servant. Even in Jesus' own day, this was a pretty radical idea. You know, kings are leaders. They're warriors and diplomats. They govern and judge. Kings are symbols of power. So the thought of a king being like a servant would have garnered a few laughs from the crowd in Jesus' day. Being a servant was both a job in his culture and also a social position. Servants were very much like slaves. There was no greatness found there. Actual servants were dependents of great people. However, the act of serving could be respectable. The Romans honored people for serving the public, you know, as city officials or serving in a public capacity, but their understanding was pretty limited. Basically, you were just doing the government a favor, just helping them out, or it was kind of a PR thing, a way to make yourself look good. That was why you did it. Not, as Jesus said, to give your life away. Even in the Judaism of Jesus' time, they would have valued community, even the idea of serving God and serving others, and this flowed out from the command to love your neighbor. But the Jews' idea of neighbor was also very limited. They were people who looked just like you. Or your neighbor was someone who they considered righteous because they were following all the religious standards. Neighbors were neighbors only if they deserved it and deserved your love. They would have been a little shocked by Jesus, who claimed himself a servant and his life and actions as a way of serving. You see, back then, people wouldn't have seen that as an admirable thing. Even Jesus' closest friends, his disciples, didn't get it. In fact, twice in the book of Mark, his disciples are arguing, not over which one of them is the most humble or which one of them is the least selfish. I'm the least selfish. I'm the most modest. They were arguing over which one of them is the greatest. Who's better? Who's stronger? Who's taller? Who's faster? Who's the best among us? And the first time this happens, they're walking down the road, and Jesus has just finished telling them that he is going to be killed and after 3 days will rise. Okay, so pretty significant thing that Jesus is talking about. And immediately following that, we read in Mark chapter 9, verse 32. But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. So when they came to Capernaum, when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." I love these passages because that's exactly what happened, right? What were you arguing about? Remember when I said I was going to give my life for as a sacrifice? What were you arguing about that time? Which one of us was going to be the greatest, right? But Jesus says, "No, you don't get it." We fast forward to chapter 10. This time, disciples James and John ask Jesus if they can have prominent places in his coming kingdom. And Jesus tells them it's not his decision. That's God's decision. And so we pick up the story in verse 41. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus is pointing towards a gigantic reversal in human relationships. And all of us are conditioned from day one that there's a pecking order. In life, there's real winners and losers. Nobody wants to be a loser because winners are in charge. Winners have money. Winners have influence. It's the sign of greatness in our world. But Jesus tells his followers, "Not so with you. Anyone who wants to be great among you must be your servant, must be slave of all and servant of all. It's this gigantic reversal in human relationships. So Jesus is saying greatness isn't being on top. We talked about this even a couple weeks ago as leaders. Greatness isn't seen as being on top. Greatness isn't receiving recognition or being noticed. Greatness for Jesus isn't attaining status or accumulating possessions or having power over others so that you can get what you want. Greatness is voluntarily giving yourself up to serve others. And the gospel records no less than 6 sayings of Jesus in which he rejected the world's understanding of greatness and pointed his followers towards servanthood. They didn't get it. Neither did we. Neither do we. So here's what Jesus did. I use this often because I think it's one of the most unbelievable things that Jesus ever did. He washed their feet. The washing of feet was reserved for only people at the lowest end of the social ladder. It was reserved for servants. So for Jesus, the leader, the Messiah, the King, God in the flesh, to wrap a towel around his waist, to get down on his knees and wash his subordinates' feet, what does that say? What's that say about Jesus, about God? And what's that say to us who have a servant for a Lord? Jesus said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Do you see this? Long before Jesus was our Savior, long before he performed any miracles, taught in public, led a movement, I think even before he was a carpenter, Jesus was a servant first, and his actions flowed from it. So as compelling as this picture is of Jesus, of God in the flesh, there's one thing missing. Where does he find the energy? How does he keep doing this over and over and over and over and over again? You know the answer. It's the Sunday school answer. It's love. Love for others. That's how Jesus found the strength to climb up and die on a cross. So when love fuels people who are servants, there's no task too big or too small for them. Because servants serve no matter what. They serve whomever, they serve wherever, they serve whatever is needed. So I realize that every single one of us is a work in progress. We have yet to attain the lofty heights of Jesus our Lord. And if I'm honest, I'm fueled by guilt or a feeling that I should do something as much as I am by love. In fact, sometimes I enjoy being noticed while I serve, probably a lot more than I should, because it feels good to be recognized or to have others think highly of me. Sometimes I admit I volunteer because I feel like I owe someone, you know, like there's a score that I need to settle. So here's the good news. It's actually the grace of God. Even if our service is tainted by mixed motives, when we yield ourselves to Christ, a change can slowly take root inside each and every single one of us. We don't have to change ourselves, that's God's job, but we can help cultivate the right conditions. You know, if you find yourself feeling guilted into saying yes too often, it could be that you have too much going on. And a focus on your priorities. What are the things that you've said yes to in your life? And are they the right things? That's a good place to start. But try, instead of being fueled by guilt, to be fueled by love. You maybe put the person's face or the people's face that you're serving in your mind as you do whatever it is. Imagine the difference you're making from their point of view. That's one way to overcome that whole guilt factor. Another thing that you may feel, like me, is the need to be noticed. And maybe that's just a little out of balance. So if that's where you find yourself this morning, try a season of working behind the scenes. For example, at our house, cleaning the kitty litter box is the lowest of the low. Okay? Whoever drew that straw during the week, that's a bad week. So maybe take that on for a while. Not so that others will notice you and what a martyr that you are, but to cultivate humility in your life. Your Father in heaven sees it. No one else needs to. He sees you, and that's all that matters. So if you find that it's scoring points with others, that you either you're serving to create a debt someone owes you, or you're serving because you feel like you have to, or that you're indebted to them, then the cure for that is cultivating generosity. You know, your time is a gift, something God's given you. It's a resource, and you can spend it freely. You can give your time. And in our community, that may be a bigger thing than money, because time is in such short supply. So whatever it is that we need to cultivate, or that we could stand to cultivate, love, humility, generosity, these are all things that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us. In fact, they can't not grow. It's double negative, I know. English teachers, it's okay. When we trust the Holy Spirit, when we lean into those things and we yield, these are fruits. These are things that just grow up in our life. We don't have to manufacture them. We don't have to try really hard to be more humble. It's learning to get out of the way, which is a hard thing to do. These are things that God wants to grow in us. And when I take a look around our church and I see how many, like, little flags are hanging on the wall, I realize, like, I may need to switch places with you, because there are so many people that give of their time and their talents very generously in our midst. And I thank you. We thank you. We need you. And there's always the 80-20 rule at work and groups, you know, where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the stuff. I'm okay with that. Kidding. If you're in the 20%, you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I got to do more. No, not necessarily. Just keep doing what you're doing. And if you're in the other camp and you're thinking, well, man, I really don't have time for this, you know, that's the friction. That's the point. Well, maybe God's inviting you into it. Give it a shot. God can do miraculous things in you as you serve others. It's part of how we're hardwired, how we are. So regardless of what we do, when it flows from a servant's heart, we build up others, we share the love of Christ, and we glorify our God. And that's something that's worth saluting. So please join me in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, and I'm just thinking of the conversation that I had during the week with someone, and the comment about we is greater than I. And that is so true when we're talking about the body of Christ. We is greater than I. And so as we come as individuals, as people, dearly loved by you, and as we come to you, you put us into this thing called church. It's your body. And whether we're a hand or a foot or an ear or however, whatever, whoever we are, whatever we may be, there's a contribution that when it's added, it becomes greater, because we're serving you, we're serving others, we're serving the greater good. So God, as we kind of start our summer, and for so many of us, this is a season to kind of unwind and to take some vacation and to rest. That's a good and wonderful thing. We pray for those vacations. We pray for that time off, Lord, that you would just restore us, that as as we take a breath, that we're reminded of your presence, Lord. But also that we is greater than I. We're so thankful, Lord, for one another and for the good gifts that we give to each other. And so help us to continue to expand your kingdom, to serve your church. You bless us, Lord, and we are so grateful. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, right now I'd like, I know there's at least several couples, the Werners, several families, the Winmans, the Enfields, the Hickmans. I know that it's awkward, but I'm going to ask you to stand. And if there's anyone else who's like, you're moving, you're leaving town here, I invite you to stand too. And all of these couples that I've named have been so significant in the life. I know that there's more than just the Enfields here. Where are you? Yes, there we go. Thank you. Yes, please, we would. And each of you has served our church for a long time, and many you've worn many different hats. Thank you for doing that. I know that this is awkward, but thank you. And we want to pray for you as some of you are moving. I know the Winmans were planning on being here today, but I don't think they made it because they're like moving tomorrow. And others of you are moving at different times, so it's not awkward if you see them again, right? But we want to pray for you. So just reach out a hand if you're near them. Surround each one of these couples. Put a hand up. And let's just pray them off. Lord, it's always hard to say goodbye. It's always hard. But it's also special. Because that's a sign of a life well-lived, and especially in a place, the group, with friends, being in relationship, Lord. This is what you've called us to, what matters most in life. And so I lift each and every one of these couples up to you, and even the ones that weren't named. We are so thankful for them, for the gift of their presence, for the joy and the laughter that they brought into our lives, and for the many ways that they've served you and served us. So go before them. Bless them, Lord. It's hard to show up in a new place and start over. And so we pray that you would ease in that, lessen that transition, Lord, that you would help them to meet people that they connect with right away, that they would meet friends, Lord, that the new places of work, Lord, that you would bless them with coworkers that they enjoy, with jobs that they look forward to going to, Lord. And we pray that you would help them find a church, that you would lead them to a body, a group of your people, Lord, and that they can join in once again. So go before them, Lord, and bless them. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.